reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Deva ayam satyanugita satyato vedeshu guyeshu chaguyavadivi ya eka isho jagaratma lilaya chajatyavatyati satya satyate. Oh dear friends, here is that very personality of Godhead, attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of Vedic literature by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world, yet remains unaffected. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedic literatures are glorifying the greatness of Lord Krishna. Here it is confirmed in the Bhagavatam also. Vedas are expanded by many branches and sub-branches by great devotees and empowered incarnations of the Lord, like Vyas, Sukadev, Goswami, the Kumaris, Sukila, Prahlad, Janaka, Bali, and Yamaraj. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, the confidential parts of his activities are described by the confidential devotee, Sukadev Goswami. In the Danta Sutras or Upanishads, there is only a hint of the confidential parts of his activities. Such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads, the Lord has expressively been distinguished from the mundane conception of his existence. His identity being fully spiritual, his form, name, quality, and paraphernalia, etc., have elaborately been distinguished from matter, and therefore he is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent persons as the person who factually is the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. He is partially represented as Paramatma or impersonal divine. Only Kana Timanan Satya. Jnanandana Salakaya Chakturunmulitam Yena Ismai Sri Gurave Namaha Uchaitanya Manobishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Ayam Rupa Kadamaya Sati Sapadam Sikam Adadana Sinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Ulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yudhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Amanabit Samandam Pampudiya Paradupa Dupi Sanatanasam Pabumatriyami Mancha Kalpa Tarukyasya Vipasin Bhuvayevaja Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Hare Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jyadvaita Gadadha Nivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The greetings from Salzburg, Pennsylvania. The home of and the Sex Sangha regularly. End of the week, we'll have a nice retreat here. So, very, very fortunate in the Bhagavatam Bhagavatam, association, trait, personality. And what makes someone great is their personality or their heart, not their position. How they love. That's self-realization. Self-realization needs to be loving, truly loving, because that's what the soul is. Ahankara, or ego, covers the loving nature of the soul with an unconstitutional position of selfishness. So the Bhagavatam, Dharma, Bhojita, Kaitavo, Sa, Paramo, Namastara, Nam, Sitam. It's for the devotee. The perfectional state of a living entity is called the devotee. And what is a devotee? It's someone who is unselfish. Completely unselfish. And therefore he doesn't approach religion to get something for himself. When you meet a person, saintly person means when you meet him, he's thinking about how to satisfy you, not thinking about his own person. And they make sacrifice their life. Anyway, the Bhagavatam presents this. And it introduces us to people who embody this. And we get to hear about that perfectional state in the form of the hearts and minds of the great devotees. And that's what we've been actually studying here, especially in the first canto. And we're seeing now when Krishna's leaving Hastinapur after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, how much the devotees love him. And now as he's leaving, we're witnessing the mood of separation of these great souls. The ladies of Hastinapur, who have never really met Krishna personally, but have developed love by hearing. Actually, when Krishna left, when the gopis came for the Rasa dance and Krishna wanted to send them home, he said, yeah, you go home and you want to realize me, you chant in here. That's the process. And same thing with the wives of the yogic Brahmin. You know, you go, you chant in here. And this is actually the process. They heard about Krishna. They heard about Krishna. Same thing with the wives of the Brahmins, the yogic Brahmins. How do they have so much love for Krishna? They had love for Krishna because when they would come for the sacrifices, you know, so much paraphernalia is needed for these sacrifices of the yogic Brahmins. And they would come from the sacrifice. They would come to simple gopi ladies, let me buy some milk, let me buy some yogurt, let me buy some flowers. So the Brahmins would do that, or there would be some exchange. And when they would meet these residents of Vrindavan, they would be talking, what? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. With Bob, with great devotion. So this is the process. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is the Yoginam api sarvesham madgitena taratanam shradhavam bhajate yoma. Of all yogis, one who worships me with love and devotion is the highest of all. Brings out this yoga, this bhakti yoga, this nature, this union with God by the soul, by hearing about the great devotees and hearing about their love and becoming attracted to that love and therefore desiring that love. Even in my Wednesday class, I'm talking about Raga Nuga Bhakti. But what's the basic process? Is the first thing is you have to value something. So therefore, the main thing that Jiva Goswami is trying to establish is this is real bhakti. This, you know, right from the heart, this is the highest. If you want to become advanced, you have to think about Krishna. And the best way to think about Krishna is thinking about Krishna spontaneously by desiring a relationship with him. So what's the first part of the spiritual practice? It's hearing about this is good, this is what we want, this is best. So we're hearing, and it'll create, if you hear this regularly, it'll create within us a desire for the topmost. And that desire for the topmost thing will lead to the topmost. So now we're up to this section, and we saw that about Krishna in kind of broken language, very, very intimately. And it was very, very attractive to him. Because sometimes you can make mantras to glorification of Krishna in the perfect Sanskrit meter. You're thinking about the form and the structure and how expert it has to be. There's something perhaps a little external. But when it's a child from the heart expresses his love, even though it doesn't have the perfect form, it achieves the objective of the prayers, which is to offer love to Krishna. We do things properly for the pleasure of Krishna. It's not that we don't do things expertly. We do things expertly, but this is, and when someone's on spontaneous devotion, it doesn't mean he doesn't follow the rules, but he follows the rules with a different bhav. Oh, this is how Krishna becomes clean. He likes things clean. He likes things in this order. You may know so many things, but it's the bhav of the devotion. It's pure devotion of these and therefore in broken, direct, very simple, loving, intimate. There's no distance. And in their hearts. And then they begin to offer these prayers. And philosophically, these prayers are also very important. Because before the level of spontaneous love, when at least for us, when our hearts are still filled with ego, the service attitude is going to be invoked by a sense of God's position and greatness. So the Bhagavatam, I always appreciate this first canto, how it's woven in the sense of intimacy and love of the residents or the associates of Krishna, and always putting also Krishna's position. And I also mentioned it in that one commentary I was reading in the 10th canto, where I mentioned this many times, it's very spontaneous, Krishna's relationship to Cowherd Boy, described in the pastime of Dana Kostya. It's very, very intimate and attractive. And when Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that, then all of a sudden there's this verse that says open protein, horizontal and vertical. Just like there's a quilt, you make it with threads both ways, and that forms the substance of the quilt. The substance of the universe and everything is God, horizontally, vertically, the support of everything. I asked one pandit, what is this otam protam here? It's such a sweet, intimate part. And then he quoted Madhva Acharya, that the something to the effect that the essence of devotion is dasya, the Buddha's servant. The mother, she's taking a superior position, but her mood is servitude. She chastises the child, she whatever. But the mood is servitude. So servitude is the basis of all relationships. And in a conditioned platform, a conditioned position, and one who's filled with egoism, Even though he may hear something intimate, he must always keep in his consciousness the fact of Krishna's superiority. He described that as Aishwarya, Krishna's opulence, is like a pot in which the Madhurya can be kept. Because the Aishwarya creates the sense of the I am his servant. And that's the essence of all. So even these, it's very interesting, ladies of Dwarka on the roofs, and they begin their talk and they begin to explain about Krishna's position. That they're looking at Krishna and they're loving Krishna, but they say, "Do you know who he is?" And of course, it's outside of Vrindavan, so it's mixed with some type of Aishwarya. But even in Vrindavan, there's Aishwarya. Is Krishna's greatness, but it only it never covers the intimate sense. And it's just like a mother for their child, just like here on the Dulo and the Vitri, their children have gotten good scholarships, very prestigious universities. So, and feel. They feel, oh yes, my son, this is not, but it doesn't interfere with the I am father feeling I am the protector, and it doesn't interfere with the mother's mood that I am the maintainer. It doesn't interfere with that, it doesn't cover that. Same thing in Vrindavan, Krishna may do so many great things, but it doesn't cover that. And therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, gave a very nice example of that. So nice that he said, just like in India, they do this. Is, you know, when you have these coal stoves. I'm just can everybody hear me?
I can hear you, Maharaj, but it could be louder.
Okay, I could be louder?
Yeah.
Is there any way to make this louder, the speaking? It sounds very... You don't know. Well, I guess the loudness is... Loudness has to be on your side. If you want to hear it louder, you have to increase the volume of your own phone.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope so. So just like, I'll speak a little louder anyway. Just like in India, when they don't gas stoves initially. Now they have gas stoves. So it's very hard to regulate the flame. Especially when you're cooking a big pot of milk. You stoke the wood and it boils very rapidly. And there's a secret that you can get the milk to boil without going over, and you throw some grass or some straw in, and this keeps it from. And then when the straw and the grass boils, you don't see it. Only occasionally it comes up to the top. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described, this is what Aishwarya is like in Vrindavan. If occasionally it comes to the top. And that Aishwarya, something sense of Krishna's power, Krishna's position, enhances the feelings of devotion. So here, they're so attracted to Krishna, and they're going to explain something. I'm kind of going back because last week we spoke about Raghunath Das Goswami. They're going to explain something about his position. And this is called Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan. Knowledge of our relationship with God, which really means, what's knowledge of our relationship with God? It means to understand his position and our position. And it means, as Prabhupada said, what is Sambandha Gyan? Basically, to understand matter, spirit, and controller of them, and understand their relationship. So that's the basic foundation of knowledge. If you want to understand your relationship with God, you have to understand God's position, and you have to understand the zone. And if you think of any philosophy which we disagree with, like Mayavad philosophy, what is our contention with them? Is that they don't understand the proper relationship between God and the living entity and God and matter. They think that God, the form of God, the presentation of God, that Krishna, is a product of matter. So they think it's not an eternal thing. They think it's something that manifests within the modes of material nature. And if you don't have that proper sambandhagyan, understanding of the relationship between God and matter and God and living entity, you can't develop your relationship with that. You can't become a bhakta if you don't accept ete chamsa kalapum sa krishna tu bhagavan svayam. That Krishna is God, he's the original personality of Godhead. And what that means, you can't develop your relationship. So your relationship with Krishna begins with this, and your relationship with Krishna is enhanced by hearing about it. So wonderful. And they're seeing that. Now get their vision. They're on the roofs. They've heard about Krishna by talking to him, and they're so attracted. It's Krishna mania. They're just completely absorbed and loving Krishna. They're mad after Krishna. Once I was in the garden in Dallas. The imprint of the Dallas temple. Even at that day, they bought a big school and a church. It's a very nice property. And then there was a little, not a forest, but a big yard. Couple of acre or two with pecan trees. Pecan. And sometimes, you know, eventually Kamal Krishnamurti bought the whole block and the houses around. But even then they had either rented or something, some houses. And in the evening, Prabhupada, when he was there, he would go to the garden. I have a picture of me in my room, sitting there in the garden. Prabhupada sitting on a rocking chair, and he would listen to Krishna book. And there was one part in the Krishna, I remember two things. There's one part in the Krishna book where gopis were criticizing Krishna. Right? You know, this rascal, and, you know, so many things. And Prabhupada was appreciating and laughing, right? That they're criticizing Krishna, but they can't stop talking about him. They can't stop being with him. The Prabhupada was laughing. So it's so attractive. Krishna is so attractive. But here they're seeing Krishna, and now these ladies, they're saying about Krishna's position. And his basic position, this is sambandhagyan. If you see in the Bhagavatam, the initial Bhagavatam is spoken in four verses from Lord Krishna to Brahma at the beginning of creation. And what's the first verse? Aham evasam evagre. It is I that existed. Just like this verse has the same word. Agre, creation, before creation. I existed before creation. Nanya yaksat asat param. Nothing else existed. Sat asat param. Nothing else existed before the creation. And in the few before, after, nothing existed. Krishna's position. What does it mean? He exists before the creation. What's Mayavadi? He's a product of the creation. Right? He's a product of the mode. There's something before him. He can't become a box. And also, they're hearing about this person is so great. This person is so exalted. The prophet, so they said, here he is. The original personnel has got it, as we definitely remember him. Here he is, as we remember him. They're so, here he is, as we remember him. He alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature. See, he existed before the modes of nature. As Prabhupada said here in the purport, material creation is affected by the interaction of the three modes of material nature set in action by the Lord, and therefore it is here that the Lord existed before the modes of nature were set up in motion. They quote Shruti Mantra, only Vishnu, God. What ultimately reality means God. And there's nothing else really but God. That's what exists. And what is illusion of Maya? Illusion of Maya is to see that, the illusion is to see that God is not existing. You're not seeing what's there, and you're seeing something. You're not seeing what's there, and you're not seeing what's there, and you're seeing what's not there. You're seeing yourself as independent, as the center. You're not seeing God, who's the center. And in him only, because he's the Supreme Lord, all living beings merge, as if sleeping at night, their energy is the center. We're saying that this is that ultimate reality. It's Krishna. And this is what the Bhagavatam is doing. And then it explains their energy suspended, and Prabhupada quotes what's called Sutta Sita Nyaya, awakening from sleep and again engaging in one's respective. The living entities, they have an identity. They have an identity. And then they go back and then they come out. And then they continue to explain. I'm just going over because I don't remember where we are in part 2 weeks ago. They say the personality of God is again desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels, the living entity, place them under the guidance of material nature. By his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate. This is very interesting, this concept. Anama, Rupa, Tani. The forms and names. Anama, while creating. So the forms and names. So what it means is, and Prabhupada explains, that when the living entity desires to lord it over material nature, they're given some false identity to do so, and it's not the real self. And that false identity has so many designations and names. Gender, nationality, race, position, etc. And that's external to the self. And the identification with those things is connected with the desire to not be a devotee, actually. And that's what this world means, that you don't want to be what you are, which is a devotee. You get to be the enjoyer and the controller, and you get entangled in the top. So he's saying, again, this is it's the personality of God that allows this to happen. And he explains what it means to be Nityabhadda. I could read what Prabhupada says. Nityabhaddas are eternally forgetful of their relationship with the Lord as parts and parcels. They are bewildered by the illusory energy as products of matter, and thus they are very busy in making plans in the material world for becoming happy. This is the material world. You make plans based on a false conception, which has no substance. God has substance. The conception that we're the enjoyer and the controllers, it has no real substance. It cannot last. A dream cannot be maintained. It's not, it has no real basis. It's artificially maintained. and that artificial maintenance of that conception, it can't last. You can't, a dream cannot last. Vayam duti yabini veshita yat sharupe divario ishe. Your ishadupe tasya, you turn away from God. Ishadupe divario stati. And you forget who you are. Turn away from God, you forget who you are, because what you are is a relationship to God. And you assume some other identity, and from that arises reality. It's a false identity. You can't really enjoy through it, and you're also threatened because it's temporary. So it says, they go on merrily with plans. They are bewildered by the illusory energy as products of matter, unless they are very busy in making plans in the material world for becoming happy. They go on merrily with plans, but by the will of the Lord, the plan makers and the plans are annihilated. The end of a certain period, as mentioned, as above mentioned, this concerns the Bhagavad Gita. Bhutva, bhutva, kaliyate. This is a description again and again and again and again and again. There's no substance. The example that's given is that a child makes a sandcastle. It's not the real home. And I remember when I was young, we'd love to make those sandcastles right on the, you know, and then we'd somehow think that we could stop the ocean. You know, we'd build up some walls that, you know, but the ocean comes and it's destroyed. Just as Prabhupada would always quote the English king who so powerfully thought he would stop the ocean. Time and tide wait for no man. So this is actually the process of self-realization in this world. It destroys that which is false, or that which is false destroys itself. It can't last. So that's what happens. There's a supreme absolute reality, which we are not, and therefore we don't control the world, and therefore we become frustrated, and that frustration, with some proper guidance, leads us to the realization that we're not the controllers, and we're not. It eradicates the upadhi, the false designation. It allows us to understand that this is not the real self, and that we're not the controllers. And that if we want to be happy, we have to embrace reality. Once you embrace reality, then you're part of reality. In other words, what's threatened is the dream. It's just like someone who's sleeping, and he's dreaming something. Once he understands his real position, then what happens in the dream is not affected. Once we understand reality, we're part of God. And that's what this is meant to do. And here's Prabhupada's purport. It's very neat. He says, actually, the spiritual spark-living entities have no material names or forms. But in order to fulfill their desire to lord it over material energy of material forms and names, they are given a chance to such false enjoyment. At the same time, they are given a chance to understand the real position through the real scriptures. Foolish and forgetful living being is always busy with false forms and false names. Modern nationalism is the culmination of such false forms and false names. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, you have to say, I love the country. Right? I mean, imagine if one of the presidents actually told the truth. Right? Actually had said, one of the candidates said, actually speaking, right, we're not American. Right? Then they have some kind of globalistic concept where, you know, people try to get a little broader understanding. You know, they have to say, I love my country. They all have to be an illusion to be president. The basic principle of being president is you have to declare your illusion. And wasn't it nice how Prabhupada cut through all this? Prabhupada didn't care for India. He didn't care for anything except the soul, you know, the nationalism. You have to, I love it. So Prabhupada said, men are mad after false name and form. It's craziness. The form of body obtained under certain conditions is taken up as factual. And the name also taken bewilders the conditioned soul into misusing the energy in the name of so many isms. The scriptures, however, supply the clue for understanding the real position, but men are reluctant to take lessons from the scriptures created by the Lord for different places and different times. For example, the Bhagavad Gita is the guiding principle for all human beings, but by the spell of material energy, they do not care to carry out the programs in terms of Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study of knowledge for one who has thoroughly understood the principle of Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, people have no taste for them, and therefore they're under the clutches of Maya, birth and death. So, it's the scripture that gives the reality. You're in it. That's why Prabhupada stressed the book. It's actually the truth. It is not the book. So, anyway, the point that they're presenting is that there's a supreme personality. Godhead is not a product. He's there. He's there. That's who he is. Let's get a vision of what it must be like to represent Krishna in heaven. And the beauty. Just a vision. Being on a roof and seeing Krishna. And knowing who he is. Then I'm kind of going back. Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who have completely cleansed the material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and senses. That is the only way to purify the existence. So the previous verse describes how actually living entity has no material covering by its nature, but due to Maya, they associate with that. The living entity is covered, and God is not part of that, he's the creator. Now, this verse shows that if you purify yourself of those false designations by hearing from the scriptures and the practice of Krishna consciousness, then you can experience God's peace. Because the separation from God, it's just a separation of consciousness. And that's the whole story of Prahlad Maharaj and the Sringadev. There's God everywhere. Yes. The separation from God is one of consciousness. In other words, you don't want to see God, and therefore God covers you from and covers you from your own, the vision of your own self. That's what's Chaito, Dharpanam, Marjanam, Bhavama. You clear the mirror of the heart, you begin to see see God and you see yourself. So, this is so free of the designation, I am the body, I am American, I am Indian, free of the designation, those material designations, which mean I am the enjoyer in this way, I am the enjoyer in this way. Free of those designations, then one can experience Krishna. Sarva Padi, Nir Muktam, Tatparatvena Nirmalam, Rishikena Sevanam, Bhakti Rupa. What's Bhakti? Sarva Padi, you're free from these designations. Sarva Padi, Nir Muktam, liberated. Sarvapati Vinir Muktam. What? And how do you become free? You become free, and that's what this verse is mentioning. What's the process? It says, by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and the senses. And the prophet said, what that means is, The way you become free is you take these senses and you engage them in the service of God, and therefore you begin to identify with your eternal position as God's servant. This is the process. You serve God, and then you begin to, just like, this is what karma yoga basically. Karma yoga basically means is that there's God's energy, and when you have upadhi, false designation of the controller interior, you begin to see God's energy as separate from Him for the purpose of your own interior. And that's called maya or illusion. You begin to see, not God. Everything is God. Everything is God's energy. The karma yoga means is you take something which you're attached to and therefore see it as separate from God and use it for God's service. When you begin to use it for God's service, you begin to see it as God's. And you therefore begin to see the world as God. And therefore, it invokes your devotional sentiment. So here, Prabhupada's explaining that this jitendriya in the verse, how do you realize God? Jitendriya, control of the senses, devotional service, you engage one, it says here. One can, the Lord can be known in nature by dint of devotional service. So it is stated here that only the great devotees of the Lord who are able to clear the mind of all material dust by rigid devotional service can experience the Lord as He is. Jitendriya means one who has full control over the senses. The senses are active parts of the body. Their activities cannot be stopped. This is classic Bhagavad Gita, so the senses have to be engaged. And that's how you control them. You control the senses. What does it mean to control the senses? You can control the senses from serving the false conception of life, that I am the enduring, I am the controller. If the senses are engaged in that purpose, it will reconfirm or nourish, not nourish, but reinforce the conception that I am the enjoyer and controller. The senses, when they're engaged. And so he's saying, this is the only way to purify the by bhakti. Jitendriya, nirjit, it says, kushan, bhakti. I think of a devotional service. It's so essential. This is why Prabhupada created a movement. Because the nature, we have so many impressions in our consciousness that are seeking to be filled with impressions of enjoyment. So if we're being constantly pushed outward, the material civilization is increasing those perceptions. Just see how much more the modern society is surcharged with opposition to spiritual life. And what is opposition to spiritual life? Creating impressions in the consciousness for being the enjoyer and the controller. And how does it put impressions in that consciousness? It bombards you with objects of sense gratification. And it advertises. You live in a society like that, the impressions are in the consciousness, and then they're always seeking, again, to be filled with the object that created the impression of enjoyment. See, that's why the yogis would like to go in the Himalayas, because the stimulation is not there. Get free from that stimulation. We're in the world. We're in the modern world. So there's so many impressions that can come in the consciousness. So we're already conditioned so heavily for that. Probably the karmic fact that we're born in this world means that we have so many samskaras from the previous life for these type of things. The Prabhupada was very practically, there's a mission, there's a movement. This is why he stressed so much preaching. It engages the senses in Krishna's service and therefore controls them
from seeking to fulfill the objects that have created impressions for material enjoyment. So the consciousness is going out towards the senses, seeking to fulfill, engage them in service, in devotional service. So important, which is why Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta was so critical of the movement to present the spiritual life so much as a retirement or just bhajan, etc. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita also, this is one of the main texts, doesn't promote it, because it's very difficult. Very difficult. Engaging. When the senses are engaged in more attractive activities, there is no chance of them being attracted by inferior engagement. It was a mission, some service. And as one becomes purified in the senses, he becomes more and more qualified to chant here, Dr. Krishna. And then I'm getting up to today's verse, and then I'm going to stop the questions. And there he says, our dear friend, here is that verse, again, every verse, here. This is who he is. Here is that very personality of Godhead, whose attractive and confidential pastimes are the part that they live. Here he is, and it's from the Shastra. It's him. And the confidential activities, they're described in Uyeshu Ja Kriya Bhadivi. They're described by the confidential Vedeshu Uyeshu, the Sutkata, Sa Payam, O Saki, O Friend, Anugita. It's described Sutkata. He's excellent. Sutkata. Kata, cast on Sutkata, this beautiful, true Kata of Saha, he, this is described Vedeshu. Guya. It's confidentially described in the Vedic literature by Guya Bhadi, by confidential devotee. And that person is the Isha Jagat Atma of the controller of the complete creation, Trijati. He's the one that creates it, Abhati Uti, he maintains and annihilates it. And yet, he never becomes attached. He's not part of it. Again, Sambandhagat. He's not part of this karma. He's here in the world, but he's not part of this karma. He's not attached to it. He hasn't come here like the Nityabhadas for some false purpose because he needed to enjoy. Therefore, he got the name Krishna. So Sambandhagat, this is Krishna. And then after that, this is typical. He's going to explain why he comes. So somehow or other, through the mouths of these queens, comes some Bhagavan after this very, very intimate. See, until you have an intimate relationship with Krishna and experience the sweetness of his personality. Like if you see someone, and you don't have a relationship, the only way you can appreciate him is by knowing of his position of power. But if you have a sweet relationship with that person and see his loving nature, his position and power becomes inconsequential. Because that's the real part of the person. So in our process of Krishna consciousness, as we're becoming advanced and as we're getting a little taste of that sweetness of Krishna, after all, it's only the first canto. There's always a tendency not understanding the sweetness in the person, just the hearing about his activity, to not understand his greatness. which will think it's just like us, dancing with the gopis, etc., etc. So it's so nice. It's a very, the way these scriptures are imposed, very nice. We're introduced to that sweetness, and we're being attracted to that sweetness, and we're seeing the loving of the gopis and Krishna. But yeah, at this point, also necessary just to keep the reverence, just to keep the mood of servitude here in this position. Srila Prabhupada does that in the Krishna book. Does a very expert thing because he introduced the 10th canto at the beginning. But he gave us access to it in the same exact way, letting us understand the sweetness, but with the understanding that when we don't have that deep relationship to experience that person, just so that we don't see him as ordinary, then it's couched in Aishwarya, it's couched in philosophy. This is it. And that's coming through the queen, but through these ladies, but through the ladies, we're also seeing their Bob. Because their sweetness is coming out. Here he is. Here he is. And then they're going to explain now his position as Venice, why he comes. Because that's another point. Because here's the whole point. If he's here in this material world, he's part of it. No, he's before. Not before. Don't misunderstand. But he's here in the material. Okay, then the next question is, if he's here in this material world, then why is he here? What is the hetu or what is the cause? Because people in this world, the cause of them being in this world is karma. They've come to this world to enjoy. And everything we see and every person we see in this world, if you use simple logic, every person in this world is here because of karma. They've come to fulfill their fruitive desires. Krishna is here. He's in the world. Therefore, he must be here. So they're just saying, no, we're describing him very, very intimately. And we have this intimate relationship with him. But no, he's not the same. Aham evasam evagre. He's before the creation. He created the world. World of names, he gives that. That's for us. And if we're in that world of names and we embrace and reinforce these material conceptions and don't try to increase the conception that I am a devotee of Krishna by engaging a devotion in her, we will not be able to experience. And he's here? Okay. And why is he here? That's going to be his son. Because his creation has some connection with him. It has some purpose. And he comes to fulfill that purpose. Okay. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo. Gail, where are you?
I'm at my house. I'm sitting outside.
Okay.
No, I don't know if maybe it's better if I go inside. Is it too much noise? Huh?
I thought for sure you must be at New Vrindavan at the kirtan.
Oh, no. No, somehow New Vrindavan doesn't inspire me. Anyway.
Yeah, you're very frank. Okay. So somehow New Vrindavan doesn't inspire me. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if we have time, but I did have a... Excuse me?
I have to say Gurangi for some.
Yeah, I know you're in Strasbourg. Yeah, I had a couple of questions if you have time, but they're both concerned with the mood of service or servant. One is, basically about what you've just finished talking about, the fact that you have to have an appreciation for Krishna's supreme position so that we you cultivate this service attitude within ourselves. And I'm just trying to get a better realization or understanding of how we would not be able to enter into our original relationship or selflessly loving relationship with Krishna if we didn't start out with understanding.
You're asking why you need to know, start out with this position to develop a loving service and relationship. Well, because if there was no conception of that, and not just if there's no conception of Krishna, and not just theoretical, but some type of realization, philosophical realization and understanding of that, then why would you serve Krishna? In other words, I'll explain. Although I think they understand if I say that. In other words, why not someone else? In other words, the first thing that brings us to Krishna, serve Krishna, is that he's God. If you didn't understand or accept that he's God, I don't think you'd pursue your relationship with Krishna. And intellectually, it would just be untenable for you. Why? I'd be getting questions, well, why this blue boy that's running in the forest? Why him? Why not like Elvis? Or I don't know. I'm not going to put some people. Why not, someone else? Why him? Mm-hmm. And therefore, the Bhagavad Gita and his holy says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, Vatan Sarvam, Vatartha, Iti, Uprapita, Buddha, Bhavasana. I am the source of the material and spiritual world. The wise who know this, engage in my devotional service. So you may think, okay, why not? Okay, I theoretically understand that. Why do I have to hear it again and again and again and again? Well, at a particular point, maybe one doesn't. But as long as we have ego, as long as we have a hankara, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, we have to reinforce in the glories of God. And I had that experience. I have to say, frankly, from the summer I went up to Himalaya. It's beautiful. And I was driving back on a bus, and you ride on these roads and you see the valley, the vastness of God's energy. And it creates a sense of servitude or humility. It's helpful. It's helpful to develop the sense of I am a servant. And a sense of insignificance. Because even in a personal relationship, you have to get rid of ego. Otherwise, you can't serve. You can't experience God. Yeah. And our ego is so rooted in a core desire for I am the doer, I am the controller. So it's really a loving relationship with Krishna to be humble. And to be humble, we have to take ourselves out of this self-conceited, centered perception. And it really helps to look at God and the world and understand that this is God. Now, knowing, Gail, that didn't really answer the question you were asking, now you can ask the question you really want to know.
No, that was helpful. So I was thinking, especially in our line, it's the personality of Krishna that motivates his devotees, in Vrindavan. It's not his position. His personality is that attractive. And so if his personality is that attractive, then why are we paying so much attention to his position?
It is all.
You said what?
All this love and all these relationships, it just pops in occasionally. It's not so much attention. But at the same sense, it's described that there are 10 subject matters in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekrasagat, Vidargat, Vyakrasagat, Vyakrasagat, the creation is post-creation, etc. And so those are necessary. And they're more necessary at the beginning and less necessary at the end. You know, so it's not a question of why so much. There's an amount that's needed.
Just to get you started, eh?
To keep you humble. To keep you focused on Krishna in a mood of service. If it's never mentioned, then there may come the thought that, you know, why him? In other words, what are you surrendering? You're surrendering to something that's wonderful, great. When you have a material vision, being in a material body, what do you view as great? Aishwarya, opulence, power. What makes you humble? Something greater than you. Greater in what? Greater in power. Greater in vibhuti, greater in opulence, greater in potency. That's what makes one humble. And the more you become purified and experience a relationship with someone, that's what is great. You know, the person's love, the person's heart, the person's personality. So the extent that you experience that and develop your relationship with Krishna is to the extent that you won't have to hear so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. And therefore, as you go through the cantos and the tenth canto, etc., you know, it's more the intimate pastimes of Krishna, but still, interspersed within that is that understanding. It's just like in the Bhagavad Gita, right? The middle chapter is bhakti. Gyan comes after, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, bhakti, devotion, just love Krishna, but here, you're not the body and this stuff is here. But same thing in the Bhagavatam. The tenth canto is not at the end. After the 10th canto comes the 11th canto. The 11th canto is considered like the head. The 10th canto is the smiling face. What's the head? It's the intellect. And also even Krishna, it's not that the Madhurya pastime is the sweetest pastime in the end. They're at the beginning. Then comes Mathura and Bhorka. And then even that, it's very interesting. In those pastimes, you know, you get Uddhava going back. You get Balaram going back. It's very, very scientifically actually structured for the nature of the conditioned soul to kind of keep him at the platform of Dasya in his intimate relationship with Krishna. And at the same sense, when you get to the Jnanic part, or even when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, still to keep the understanding of the sweetness. If before a certain level of experiencing a relationship with Krishna, if it's all sweetness, it becomes sentimental. And if it's all philosophical analysis, it becomes dry. There's a very, very careful mixture of the two. And, I was with this one sadhu once, you know, and I, you know, he was telling me, you know, that, you know, all these things of creation. And he was saying that Narada and Vyasa were sleeping. What is it? The fifth canto of calculation of time from the atom. You know, there's so many detailed things. The Bhagavatam is also, so first of all, for Bhakta, there's rasa in everything. It's not just creation that's explained here, but it's by intimate devotees who are appreciating and loving Krishna. It's very, very, you know, if you love someone, and anything you hear about that person, right? And, you know, let's say you have such an intimate relationship with your daughter, you know, mother and child, and, you know what I'm saying? Then if one of your daughters becomes, you know, something great, according to your estimation. You know, something great. Now then, that will also be connected to the sweetness. But it's necessary. It's necessary to base.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gail?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Krishna. Enjoying so much up here. I'm gonna long overdue. I'm gonna take a retreat before the retreat. Not this year, the retreat.
I don't know how much competition I have out there today, but if I don't have much, I would ask just one more.
Okay, Gail.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. There's the four lessons that are in Vrindavan, they're the two friendships. Yeah. But in Vrindavan, you understand that Krishna's position is either of equal to his devotees or inferior. You know?
Where?
Yeah.
His devotees are either equal or superior.
Yeah, right. I was saying his relationship with his devotees. Right, so I don't understand then, therefore, how is it that the rasa of master servant is there?
That's there, but it's there in a very intimate way, right? Like you can have a servant who is very, very distant, and you can have a servant that's very, very intimate. So in Vrindavan, Krishna has servants, right? But I think it's called, there's two types of servitude. One's called sambrahma, and one is called gaurava. Sambrahma Prithi means, like, they give different examples, like demigods. You know, they see Krishna as God. But Gaurava Prithi means you can have, like, a younger brother. Right? So his mood is servitude, but it's close and intimate. That's Gaurava Prithi. So in Vrindavan, the servitude shift is Gaurava Prithi. The intimate servitude. And therefore he has servants like Raktak and... You know, Nanda Maharaj has different servants that's there in India. But they're servants that are very, very intimate. They're intimate servants. They're younger relations, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Younger servants. That's how that type of servitude there is. Okay, thank you. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna or ask a question? Someone just say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Bhagavati.
Bhagavati. Hare Krishna. You're up in State College?
Actually, I'm back at Gitanagari. The State College living is finished by now.
You stay at Gitanagari.
Yeah, you know, our place where you had the Radhasthami celebration. Come.
Is some help on the way for Gitanagari?
It appears to be so. We'll wait and see. But it looks like a few people are getting interested.
Rumor has it that help is on the way.
I heard the same thing, yeah. It's a little hopeful. Hopeful.
Yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Henry.
Hey, Henry. Nice to hear from you. You're in Washington now?
I'm in Aspen.
Aspen, Colorado?
Yes, Maharaj.
Hey, I know my geography. Good.
Yes, Eric is here, too. He's not with me in the room, but he's here, too.
Oh, give my respects to Eric, and we'll tell him we'll see him in Vrindavan.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Looks like people are not too interested in this creation business here. One more person say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Gordon?
Yes.
Hey, Harjit.
Hey, Vol.
Okay, let's get today, Harjit.